Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
A couple of days ago, I returned to Phoenix from a very special trip that a friend of mine named Wayne and I had made. We were privileged to go to Indianapolis and to see the NC2A Final Four basketball tournament. In thinking about that trip, I remember that there was one question that was asked me and others more perhaps than any other question, and that was, who's your favorite? Well, the answers were varied on Saturday. They were categorized into four groups, those that were for West Virginia, those for Michigan State, those for Butler, and those for Duke University. That narrowed down on Monday because Michigan State and West Virginia lost, and then the favorite was one of the two in the finals. Perhaps 80%, in my estimation at least, of that crowd of 72,000 would have answered, well, my favorite is Butler. They're the underdog, and I'm for them. Well, when I start thinking about favorites, it's an intriguing subject. It's a interesting thought process. And I start thinking about what's your favorite subject? Who's your favorite person? And I have many friends that would share with me an answer to that. My favorite person is Jesus Christ, and my favorite subject are those things about Jesus Christ. And because of that, I'd like to begin a series with this radio program that we could entitle All About Jesus Christ. Those things about our Lord and Savior, the one who came from his home in heaven to this earth to live and die that you and I might have a hope of eternal salvation. The first thought that I'd like to present to you concerning Jesus has to do with overcoming. We might well entitle this lesson, Overcoming with Jesus Christ. The text for that lesson is found in the 5th chapter of the book of Mark. If you have your Bible handy, turn with me to that passage. I want to begin reading with verse 1. And they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gergesenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. And he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him any more, even with a chain, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. And constantly, night and day, among the tombs and in the mountains, he was crying out and gashing himself with stones. And seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him, and crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, by God, do not torment me." For he had been saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus was asking him, "What's your name?" And he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he began to entreat him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now there was a big herd of swine feeding there on the mountain, and the demons entreated Jesus, saying, "Send us into the swine so that we may enter them." And he gave them permission. And coming out, the unclean spirits entered the swine, and the herd rushed down to the steep bank into the sea, about 2,000 of them, and they were drowned in the sea. And the herdsmen ran, and they ran away and reported it in the city and even out in the country, and the people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed sitting down, clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had the legion, and they became frightened. And those who had seen it described to them how it had happened to the demon-possessed man and all about the swine. And they began to entreat Jesus to depart from their region. And as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was entreating him that he might accompany him. But Jesus did not let him, but he said to him, Go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. As I think about the subject of overcoming with Jesus, my mind goes to a book that was written by Thomas Castain. The book is entitled The Three Edwards. It's an intriguing chain of events. It's about the life of Renald III, who was a 14th century duke in Belgium. Renald was known for his obesity. In fact, if it's not a duplicate of terms, you might say he was extremely obese. And Renald had a younger brother. His name was Edward. And Edward had seized power from Renald, a leadership position that was rightfully Renald's, and Edward had Renald put into prison. And the interesting fact about that was that the doors and the windows of the cell in which Renald was incarcerated were open, but Renald was just too fat to squeeze through them, so he remained a captive in that little cell. And when the people would come and they would accuse Edward of being cruel to his brother, he would just simply say, "My brother isn't a prisoner. He can leave anytime he wants to." And then Edward would follow that statement by directing his staff to make sure that his brother Renald was fed with a lot of food and a lot of calories that would keep him in his condition so that he couldn't get out of that cell. Well, there's a point there. The point is that you and I can be enslaved by something that can destroy us. Spiritually speaking, we can be entrapped by sin. And like Renald in the book that we talked about earlier, we have a myriad of excuses when that happens. I remember watching when I was younger a television program that I enjoyed quite a bit. The entertainer was Flip Wilson, and he had this character in his show called Geraldine. And every time something bad would happen, Geraldine would say, "The devil made me do it." And while the devil certainly doesn't make us do anything that we don't choose to do, he certainly can incite us to evil that will affect our lives. Overcoming the hostile power and the influence of the devil is the major point that Jesus makes in Mark the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 20 that we read a little earlier. In that text, we are shown two great powers, the power of the devil and the power of Jesus. I want at the very outset of our lesson for us to understand that the power of Jesus was greater. And that can give us confidence. It can give us hope. The power of Jesus Christ is greater than the power of the devil. And that's not to say that the devil isn't powerful. The devil has the power to enslave us. He has the power to overcome good with evil if we do not cherish the good and practice the good. Jesus has the power to overcome evil with good. He did it for the one that was possessed with a demon, and you know what? He can do it for us too. I want to look with you at a profile for a minute of the power of the devil. Notice, if you would, what it's done in this passage in Mark the 5th chapter. It took that man who was formerly a part of society, and it isolated him from society. It took a man that was formerly living in the city and made him retreat to the caves. It took him out of those people's domain that he formerly lived in. He had disregard even for personal dignity, didn't he? He harmed himself. It said he gashed himself with the rocks. And I noticed also that he cried out at all hours of the day and night. And when I see that isolation and that retreating and that disregard for personal dignity and that self-inflicted harm and the crying out of all hours, it makes me focus on the strength of Satan. Our text tells us, I think, three truths that we might very well say are very scary. Three truths about evil and its power. Number one, evil can ruin your life. In verse 3 of our text, it says that he lived in the tombs. When we look at the parallel text, which is found in Luke the 8th chapter and verse 27, we see that he was from town. So we know that he wasn't always in the gutter. He was formerly different than we find him in our text. You know what? When we underestimate Satan's power in our lifetime, we find devastating consequences. We find politicians in our lifetime that are trapped in scandal, and they lose everything because they underestimated the power of Satan. I can recall vividly when Richard Nixon, the President of the United States, finally had to step down from office because of the evil that he refused to admit, because of the sins that he had committed. And it's not uncommon anymore to hear about the bad things that are done by the leaders of the country, whether it be senators, whether it be even the president, underestimating the power of evil. High-profile religious people, Jimmy Baker, for one that comes to mind, priests in the Catholic religion, underestimating the power of Satan and falling to the temptations that simply destroy their lives. Evil doesn't ruin everyone's life, but I'll tell you what everyone should be, and that is cautious. We should be cautious of how evil affects us. I remember when I was a youngster here in Arizona, we used to watch a TV program. It was on old Channel 5. I recall that, and it was about a man by the name of Dr. Stanky. Dr. Stanky was a teacher at Arizona State University, and he had to do with rattlesnakes. Now, I don't know what all he taught, but I know that on that television program, Dr. Stanky would milk rattlesnakes. And one time I remember them talking about the number of times that Dr. Stanky had been bitten by rattlesnakes because he didn't exercise due caution. I want to suggest to you that if we took a whole big box full of rattlesnakes and we put them in the vestibule here at the Monte Vista Church of Christ building, that there would be a lot of people using the exit on the other side of the building because they would avoid those rattlesnakes. And if we were to say, well, you know, we have a couple of hundred people here and we've only put down 20 snakes, I think that probably 170 or 180 people could get out without getting bit. Just go ahead while those rattlesnakes are tending to the minority number and go on through and out the door. And people say, well, you're nuts. I wouldn't go anywhere near that part of the building that's got those snakes in it. Well, doesn't that prove a point? Shouldn't we use the same kind of care? Shouldn't we give the same kind of respect to the power of the devil? Well, a second truth about the power of evil that's important to us is that it can control our life. When that person who had the demon called himself Legion, he was saying that 6,000 demons had invaded his body. Note the effect of that. He cut himself with the stones and he lived in the graveyard. When Satan's in control of my life, I do things that are unthinkable. Some people think, well, you're a preacher. You don't have that kind of stuff come into your life. Well, that's just wrong. Everybody that lives and walks upon the face of the earth is tempted by Satan. The Bible says that he's like a lion. He prowls around looking for those that he can deceive, that he can tempt, and that he can separate from God. Well, when Satan is in control, we do things that we wouldn't think about doing when he's not in control. And while we don't live in the graveyards and cut ourselves with stones, Satan will still destroy our body. I know that's true because I see what he does with drugs to people. I remember one time seeing on commercial somebody was frying an egg, and they said, that's what drugs does to your brain. Well, when we submit to the temptation of Satan and start abusing ourselves with the drugs that are common today, we're in control of Satan. He controls our life. We don't control ourselves anymore. When I was preaching in Long Beach, California, we had a young man who we had studied the Bible with, and he had become a Christian. But he had started taking drugs when he was in the third grade, and his brain was fried. And sometimes he'd be pretty rational, and sometimes he wouldn't. And finally, one day he was driving on the Long Beach Freeway, in the middle of traffic, and for one reason or another, he just decided to get out of the car, going about 65 miles an hour, and he got killed. Well, he had lost control. Satan had control over him because of the things that he had done in his life. To the Gentiles, who were controlled by evil, there's a message in Ephesians 4 and verse 19. Paul said, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. That's what happens when evil takes over our life. That's a chilling thought, isn't it? Well, a third thing about evil that we can learn is that it has destructive power. And that destructive power's got to go somewhere. And perhaps that's the scariest of all of the three truths that we've talked about concerning evil. It's so destructive. It's got to find an outlet. The evil in the passage in Mark the 5th chapter wanted to go into the pigs. Evil is relentless in its pursuit of destruction. It's like a spreading fire, like a flame. Can't be blocked into one place. It goes from one place to another. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, your enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. But where does evil go when it's around you? Don't be deceived. Evil's around you. You can't say, well, I'm isolated from evil. Satan doesn't bother me. That's like sticking your head in the sand. The question that is important for you and I is, what happens? Where does it go when it's around me? Does it find a home within me, or is it sent somewhere else? But with all of the bad news that we've been talking about, there is good news in Mark the 5th chapter. And that good news is that the devil is no match for Jesus Christ. We've talked about the profile of the power of Satan. But I would tell you, there's a profile of the power of Jesus Christ. Remember, even when the demons completely controlled that man in Mark 5, they still recognized the superiority of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, Jesus can overcome our failures. That ruined man of Mark the 5th chapter didn't stay ruined. When the power of Jesus hit that man's life, according to verse 15, he got up, he got dressed, and he came to his right mind. The power of Jesus Christ hit his life. The change was radical. The change was complete. You'll notice in that text that he was ready to learn, and he was ready to tell others what great things he found in Jesus Christ. The Bible's full of stories like that. Stories that say to us that no problem is too big for God. No sin is too big for forgiveness. When I read about King David and the terrible things that he did in stealing another man's wife, in sending that man to the front lines so that he was murdered defending his country, the terrible things that David did, I also see that those terrible things were not too big to be forgiven. When I read about the prodigal son, who took the inheritance of his master and went into a far country and just wasted it, he squandered it. And he ended up in a pig pen eating with those swine. And the Bible says he came to himself. He remembered what it was like to be home, and he came to himself. And he went home, and he even just wanted to be a servant. But his dad saw him coming, and he put a robe on him and killed the fatted calf for a meal, and he was so happy to have him back. And what that says is, there's no sin too big for forgiveness. I remember being introduced to the Apostle Paul. His name wasn't Paul then. His name was Saul. He was from Tarsus. We're introduced to him when Stephen was in trouble, and during the execution of Stephen and the Sanhedrin, the people that were killing Stephen laid their coats at the feet of Saul. And Saul even went to the Sanhedrin and got letters of authorization to go throughout the country and to wreak havoc with those that loved the Lord and that were Christians. But also remember that he was on the road to Damascus and he saw that great light. And Jesus came into his life and how he went into the city blind. He was told what to do to become a Christian. He was baptized and what that and who is there that gives us more information in the New Testament than the Apostle Paul? And what that says to me is there's no problem too big for God. What that says to me is there's no sin that's too big for forgiveness. Jesus Christ can overcome our failures. Well, a second thing that we learn when looking at the power or the profile of the power of Jesus Christ is that he changes our life from the inside out. Jesus didn't try to reform the behavior of that man with the demons. He transformed his being. Jesus didn't try to clean up his act. He cleaned out his heart. If Jesus can handle 6,000 demons, he can handle my problem. I believe that with all of my heart. But I tell you what, Jesus' power is limited. Let me say that again. The power of Jesus is limited. He can't help me unless I let him help me. There's four steps to getting the power of Jesus, I believe. Number one, we must acknowledge Jesus as the Lord of our life. We need to do his will. John 14, verse 15. We don't just need to know about it. We need to actively do the will of Jesus Christ to show our love for him. Satan's power cannot stop you from responding to Jesus if you want to. You alone can reject Jesus in your life. When we're told in John the 3rd chapter and verse 16 that we are to believe, the only person that can keep us from believing is me. The only person that can keep me from confessing Jesus Christ, as I'm directed to do in Mark the 10th chapter, verse 32 and 33, is me. The only person that can stop me from repenting, as I'm told I must do in Luke 13 and verse 3, is me. The only person that can stop me from being baptized, as I'm directed by Jesus in Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, is me. Demons can't stop me. They couldn't stop that person in Mark the 5th chapter. They had to obey Jesus. The second thing that I must do to get that power of Jesus Christ is to realize that the end awaits that is devastating for the followers of the devil. In Mark the 8th chapter, verse 29, and Luke 8, and verse 31, and Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3, we read that the devil knows that his end is in hell. The wise man knows that to join Satan is to share his end. Hell's not made for man. Matthew 25, verse 41 shows that. But we'll go there if we want to. Third, we need to learn from Jesus how to live. The person with the demons had a desire to change, and that's evident from his desire to learn. In verse 15, it says he is sitting there waiting for Jesus to teach him. He was starting to become a disciple. You know, when we change from the devil, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes a good start, though, to get started. Willingness and effort plus time equals change. The final step in that acquiring the power of Jesus is to talk about the changes that Jesus has brought in your life. Jesus said, go home and tell your family. Tell them how much the Lord's done for you and how as he has had mercy on you. We need to do the same thing. Three reasons. And then the lesson is yours. Three reasons that we should talk about how God has changed our life. First, it'll confirm the change in ourselves. It becomes less likely for us to revert to the old ways when we talk about the new way. Second, it'll help others see that you've really changed, that they're encouraged then to give you a second chance. And third, talking about God's positive impact on our life gives God the glory. The glory he deserves. He's the source of the change, and he should get the credit. There are two striking profiles that we've talked about today of supernatural power, that of the devil and that of Jesus Christ. On the one hand, the devil can trick us to life that is controlled by ruin and evil. On the other hand, the devil's no match for Jesus when you let him in. Unfortunately, many feel that they can handle the evil on their own, but they can't. We need Jesus Christ in our life to do that, which will result in the salvation of our souls. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.